Addressing the concerns and barriers to therapy is a primary need when building a therapeutic relationship with a first responder. Trust can be slow to build, but the more prepared the therapist is to work with a first responder, the more likely the success. Maintaining a strong positive regard for the individual and their willingness to come into therapy, as well as utilizing strength-based perspectives from the initial meeting, will help build rapport. Acknowledge their inherent resilience, desire to help, and the sheer perseverance required to do the work. First responders carry a weight unknown by most and deserve to have this recognized. Acknowledge that they are more than their job. Be prepared to complete thorough history taking, but know some information will come with time. Be curious about how they got into their work and why it is important to them. Ask, how did you learn to build the skills, including walls, needed for your job? The clinician sets the tone for the relationship and can make or break someone's willingness to reach out again. It is important to find a balance between the authoritarian and direct approach of their work culture and the attunement and empathy necessary in the therapeutic environment. For example, therapy can be how a first responder takes care of themselves to ensure they are duty ready instead of feeling that they need to be taken care of. Focusing on language around safety versus care is so important, i.e., how are you mentally safe, physically safe? This relates to the first responder themselves as well as how they talk about their family members. Get informed consent and continue to clear up any concerns related to confidentiality at every reasonable opportunity. If they are referred to treatment by a supervisor or a part of a workman's compensation claim, issues around confidentiality and release of records should be addressed in the beginning of treatment and as they arise thereafter. Make sure you are on the same page regarding who their files are released to and for what purposes they may be used. It's essential that you are direct about every aspect of confidentiality, including the contents of their record, what is and isn't released, who information is shared with, and the right to withdraw consent for release at any time. There are several evidence-based therapy interventions that are successful with first responders. 1. Although psychoeducation is often a part of other treatment modalities, the importance of this component of treatment should not be overlooked. Providing first responders with information regarding how the brain and body manages chronic stress, trauma, and dissociation can often open the door to accepting therapy. It can help move someone from what's wrong with me to understanding that this is what the brain does to protect me, or this is why my thoughts and feelings got stuck. Learning about the window of tolerance, stages of change, and sensory triggers can help make sense of the negative self-beliefs. Depending on the therapeutic relationship and the individual, discussing pros and cons of medication options can help someone evaluate the value of short or long-term use. Peer support can mean many different things: coworkers, friends, loved ones, and others they respect. Additionally, intradepartmental peer support access can be an option. Refer to Red Line Rescue for intradepartmental peer support resources. 2. Skills training is another important component of therapy, no matter what your therapeutic orientation or approach. The first responder may already have positive, healthy strategies they use to relax, but they may not fully consider the benefit of engaging in these activities. Identifying these sources to build from, as well as exploring various other forms of relaxation and grounding practices, can be useful. Helping a first responder understand how to regulate their emotions can help them feel more comfortable and confident in their work and personal life. Identification of triggers, increased self-awareness, and self-compassion are all tools that can aid in increasing emotional regulation. Sometimes, enhancing time management skills can be helpful in creating space to engage in new hobbies or practices that will help increase work-life balance. Both helping someone identify interest and gain confidence in learning something new can assist in this process. One important thing to note is that before a clinician introduces a modality that might be considered too touchy-feely, such as meditation, it is important to first understand the responder's acceptance level of such modalities. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a widely supported treatment modality that is both accessible and effective. It can be used to aid first responders in examining the relationship between their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, helping to uncover unhealthy patterns and replace negative thinking and self-destructive behaviors. A benefit of using CBT with first responders includes the structure of therapy. Because CBT is goal-oriented, problem-focused, and addresses the immediacy of symptoms, it can be useful for those who cannot easily access the root of problem or traumatic memories. CBT can be helpful for a variety of symptoms of depression, anxiety, and other problems, disorders, such as substance abuse, personality disorders, and eating disorders that may be present in more complex cases. Recognizing the goal for treatment and mutually agreeing on the approach to reach that goal provides buy-in and recognizes resiliency. CBT is good, but it is not enough if you don't have a modality behind it. You cannot simply use talk therapy with first responders. Cognitive processing therapy, CBT, is one specific type of cognitive behavioral therapy. It is a 12-session psychotherapy for PTSD. Clinicians use CBT to teach the client how to evaluate and change the upsetting thoughts they may have had since their traumatic experience. By helping them change their thoughts, they can change how they feel. CBT is one of the evidence-based treatments for PTSD and includes organizing one's thinking through writing activities, examining those thoughts, and gives clients a way to step back and reflect on what actually transpired. CBT helps to develop balanced ways of thinking about things, incidences, that may have been distorted in one's mind and have become obstacles to healing from PTSD. Trauma management therapy is a newer evidence-based intervention that is specifically designed to treat PTSD and other trauma disorders. The focus of TMT is on skill building and uses exposure therapy to help identify fear, distress caused by certain triggers. Exposure is used to help desensitize from the distress over time in order to reduce fear responses. TMT uses virtual reality simulation to help with exposure strategies based on the individual's specific treatment plan. Dialectical behavioral therapy is a form of heavily structured CBT that has been effective with veterans and first responders. Combining both talk and behavioral therapy to address negative emotions and learn strategies to cope with stress and increase communication skills, DBT focuses on mindfulness, distress tolerance, emotional regulation, and interpersonal effectiveness. DBT can be a longer form of therapy and requires specific clinician training. Mindfulness practice focuses on developing increased awareness of one's physical, mental, and emotional states without judgment of how or why that state exists. It can allow the individual to begin to accept what they think and feel, ultimately allowing more control over cognition and behavior. While mindfulness is rooted in various Eastern spiritual philosophical beliefs, there are several interventions, such as acceptance commitment therapy, ACT, that are designed for the therapeutic environment. Though many forms of therapy include some mindfulness activities, such as breathing, guided imagery, and grounding experiences, first responders may find an intentional practice, such as yoga or meditation, helpful as well. There are various forms of both, with specific disciplines and focus that a first responder may find beneficial. Clinicians should be prepared to provide psychoeducation on avoidance strategies when they are present and teach first responders to develop awareness of when they use avoidance to cope with feelings. First responders may need help in creating new active coping strategies, stress relief practices, and identifying sources of fear and anxiety. Consider exposure exercises that may create comfort with feeling emotions and sensations that normally would be avoided. Stress reduction practices taught within session are more likely to be used outside of session, particularly in the beginning stages of therapy. Have several imaginary relaxation activities, muscle relaxation therapies, or mindfulness regulation therapies available for consideration. Thought field tapping, diaphragmatic or breathing exercises, and 5-4-3-2-1 activities can easily be incorporated into session until the responder builds comfort using these strategies on their own. When introducing new stress reduction, relaxation, and self-soothing activities, it is important to fully consider the individual and their likelihood to accept and use the tools being taught to them. For example, for someone highly creative and somewhat comfortable with their own emotions, guided imagery may be more successful than for someone resisting therapy or reluctant to let down defenses.